Thank you. You may be seated. Turn with me to page 1637 of your Pew Bible. I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. It says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.' After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Just a few moments, I want to take you from the stable to the table. Because lying in the cradle, back at that very first Christmas, within a stable is the first gift of Christmas wrapped in swaddling clothes. At the Lord's Supper, we fast forward 30 plus years, we see the Lord Jesus now meeting with his disciples and saying, "This do in remembrance of me." We do much in celebration for the birth of Christ, commonly called Christmas, and yet we must realize that Jesus never told us to celebrate his birth. But he did tell us, and it's written several times in the scriptures, he told us to remember and to celebrate his death. So let me talk to you very quickly about three things about Christmas. Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. First of all, Christmas past, there's the message for us to remember the Lord's death. Remember the Lord's death. Hebrews 10:5 says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me.'" So all the Old Testament sacrifices, all the rituals, pass now because it was all done in anticipation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself coming in the flesh, robed in a human body. Jesus Christ came, a body, he said, "You have prepared for me." So his death was made possible, certainly, by his birth. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Mary's little lamb was the first truly spotless lamb. Jesus was sinless. No imperfections, no failure, no weaknesses, no shortcomings, no wrong ever. He was God's gift for our redemption. So when that first Christmas occurred, wrapped in swaddling clothes, God presented to us the hope of the world. Our hope, my hope, your hope, the hope of the world. So his death was made possible by his birth. Secondly, this death was made meaningful by his life. This perfect gift was presented to the world in Christmas past. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus arrived on the scene as a baby, vulnerable as a baby. He saved all those who would believe on him and who would, by their belief in him, unwrap God's gift of the Savior. He lived that perfect life. Never wrong, never a mistake, never any regrets, never thinking it should have been done differently. It was all planned out. It was all perfect. And Jesus provided that perfect sacrifice for our sins because he never failed. He never sinned. And this death, not only made possible by his birth, made meaningful by his life, it was made monumental by his resurrection. If he would have stayed in the grave, he would have lived a great life, but he would not have guaranteed our own resurrection. He would not have guaranteed our own eternal salvation. But we see there was birth, there was life, there was death, and then we see a breath as he rose from the dead, walked out of that tomb. He conquered death and hell and the grave, and so his gift continues giving to us eternally. This gift that we celebrate at Christmas, the Christ child who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save his people from their sins. Christmas past. Remember his death. Secondly, Christmas present. We're to remember the Lord's steps. He's our model. He's our pattern. As we give our lives to him, trust him as our Savior, he now shows us how we should live. Communion, the word, our service today, call it the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, Holy Communion. That word is a powerful word. It means fellowship. It means partnership. So we enter through the blood of the Lord Jesus, through our faith in him, we enter into a relationship, a personal relationship with Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We enter into a special relationship, into the very presence of Christ. He is present always, of course, because he's omnipresent. But this morning, in a very special way, he's represented here and now by what we're going to be doing here in just a few moments. Christmas should be much more about this table than yonder stable. We think about the cradle. We think about baby Jesus. People who only come to Christmas or come to services in church on Christmas Sunday, all they hear about is the birth so often. The story so often in many, many churches never goes beyond the birth. But this service, this day, this season ought to be so much more than just the birth. It ought to be about his death, because he died to pay for all the sins of all the world, of all the individuals who have died, who are living right now, and who will live in the future. Every sin that's ever been committed was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet when Jesus had that Lord's Supper with his disciples, he showed that he wanted to have communion with them, for them to walk as he walked. Same thing he wants for us today. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called." Here's your calling upon every one of us. "Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." He laid a life out, a pattern of living. He wants every one of his children, everyone that who has believed in him as Lord and Savior, to follow his lifestyle. We are, as a church, a fellowship of believers. When we sit at his table, it is as if we were present with Jesus Christ during that final meal. And yet he certainly is with us right now, in this room, in our lives. He dwells within every one of us as believers. And at the Lord's table, we call to mind the high cost of our salvation. Think in your mind this morning the price that he paid. Envision the cross. Envision the torture that he went through. Envision the pain that he suffered. All of it for you. All of it for me. Salvation's free for you and me, but it's not free because it paid. It costs. The Lord Jesus Christ, his life, cost him much pain, much torture. That which is free to us cost him dearly. Here's what Hebrews says, Hebrews 10, 28 and 29. "Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses." Two or three witnesses would come and bring charges. People would be executed in those days. Now listen to what he asks. "How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who is treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. People who die with Christ come under judgment for all of eternity. Not necessarily because they're such sinners, because we're all sinners, but because we've trampled underfoot the Son of God and all that he did for us. Because we have treated as unholy the blood that he shed for us, and that we've insulted the Spirit of grace who brought it all to pass. This morning, he wants us to live for him. What is your gift this morning to him? Have you given him your life? Have you given him your best? Or do other things, other people, other possessions mean more to you than him? Christmas past, remember the Lord's steps. Christmas past, remember the Lord's death. Christmas present, remember the Lord's steps. And Christmas future, remember his soon return. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Every time we participate in the communion service, we're stating that we believe he's coming back. He says, keep doing this until the Lord returns. So we are to proclaim his death until he comes. One way we do it is by participating in the Lord's Supper. He who came into the world will come back again and take us out of this world before the coming judgment. Scriptures teach us that over and over. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the communion service, we're to remember the promise of his return. We will one day eat this supper in heaven with him. Listen to what he says in Revelation 19, verse 7. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. And then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." One day, we'll join with him in heaven to eat this supper again. Christmas past, remember that our past is forgiven and forgotten, or can be. If you don't know the Lord as Savior, today you can trust him. Today you can believe in him. Meet with one of the prayer workers if you do not know how, and they'll show you after the service how to come to know him as your personal Savior. Christmas present, remember that our present is a gift of life that cannot be purchased, but rather has already purchased us, redeemed us. In Christmas future, remember that our future is unwritten except for the end. Take your clean slate, walk in his steps until he comes. Give thanks for the stable where it all started, for the sinless life that he lived, and for the body and blood sacrificed for us. He who was born to die didn't stop there. He died that we might live, and he rose to make it all possible. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your birth, virgin birth, your sinless life, and your complete and total sacrifice and your resurrection that we might live. Help us this morning that we might see you in all of this, that our lives, Lord, might be totally committed and dedicated to you. And praise you today for what you've done for us in Jesus' name.